Well, I was born in Philadelphia, 1954. During that particular time, it was kind of normal for black families, for black females in particular, if they had a child out of wedlock, to allow another relative to raise that child. That was my lot in life at that time.
Hello, my name is Jared Lucky, and Dwight Lucky is who you just heard. He's now 56 years old. He still to this day lives in Philadelphia, and you're probably wondering if he is related to me. Well, yes, he is my father. Now, I've heard bits and pieces of the story plenty of times, which is why I chose to interview him and only him. Stay tuned to listen to a very powerful and touching story of Dwight Lucky's childhood and young adult experiences.
My mother was unmarried. From what I understand, she had a relationship with a married man, and being the case, she allowed her older sister to raise me. So, though I was born in Philadelphia in 1954, I was quickly put in under her care, and so I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. The situation at the time was I was the youngest child, and my aunt Christine raised me, my mother's oldest sister, and I grew up thinking that she was my mother, and I was not informed that she was my mother until later, until around 8 years old. But I was quite comfortable with that situation, not knowing that I was not her actual son, but she was indeed my aunt. And so I grew up, like I said, as the youngest child. Had two brothers, two sisters in D.C., Washington, D.C., and I was happy with that. At the age of eight, something took place, and I think my school situation was pretty bad, and somebody got wind that I was not actually my aunt's child, and so something happened legally, and I was forced to be returned to my mother in Philadelphia. I think it was second or third grade. I think it was the second grade, around 8 years old. And at the time, my aunt transported me back to Philadelphia, and I was then informed that my mother, who I thought was my aunt, was really my mother in Philadelphia, and my aunt, who I thought was my mother, was really my aunt. And so they kind of threw all of that on me in one day, and when I found that out, I was very heartbroken. So I went from being the youngest to the third oldest, and the family in Philadelphia was ended up being 10 children, me included, stepfather and my mother, and I was thrust back into their lives. There must be some kind
of way out of here. The shocking news that Dwight Lucky had just received was unreal. In fact, he couldn't deal with knowing that who he thought was his aunt was really his mother. He couldn't even live in the same house with his biological mother for a while. The thought of being lied to was the only thing going through his head. I can't even imagine finding out that my mom or my dad is really not my mom or my dad. And what I can't imagine was a reality for him. And it was almost too much.
My world was literally turned upside down. And for about a week, maybe a week, 2 weeks, I had to stay with my mother's sister, one of her sisters who lived down the street from her in Philadelphia, because I really could not handle the fact that my new mother was indeed my mother. So I had to adjust to that, had to adjust to a bigger family, smaller home, suddenly becoming an older sibling. And for quite a while, my new siblings teased me about my status. And so it took me a while to remember that. I was haunted by that. And I was very uncomfortable for a long period. And it probably took me a good year to really adjust to that. And I remember the fourth grade being a better year than the third grade in my new surroundings. So childhood was kind of crazy. My stepfather, I never had a relationship with him. he was my stepfather, and he treated me as such, like I was his stepson. And for some reason, he found it difficult to treat me like I was his child. And he kind of made that known by way of what he was willing to do for me, materialistically and also emotionally. The things a child looks for from a father, it wasn't there. And so I spent a lot of time as I began to grow up, I began to seek outside sources, outside of our home, friendships, and I became kind of pretty streetwise very quickly. Now my oldest brother, he was a stepchild as well. So when my mother met her husband, he and I hung out together for a while as we began to mature and get older. So I kind of looked to him to some degree for some guidance, but more so from friends, and so we adapted as children do. Not necessarily, we didn't necessarily adapt the best way, but we did, as in, because that's what we had. We adapted to the situation. So the childhood was kind of rugged. We were very poor in terms of material wealth. But in growing up, it was pretty tough. I wore my stepbrother's, I used to wear some of his shoes because I didn't have my own shoes. And my stepdad was not willing to buy me things like that. So, as it would happen, his feet were at least, for example, I think at one point I wore 8 and he wore 7. So we were the ghetto within the ghetto. And that's how rough things were in terms of our home and what we didn't have compared to what some other people had.
Would you like to go with me down my dead end street?
As Dwight adapted to this poorer situation, he still had to adapt to the different areas of Philadelphia. His family members already crossed the line with lying to him, and he already expressed his feelings about that. So I asked how he adapted to his new neighborhood. I wanted to know what was the difference from crossing over from the streets and family situation in Washington, D.C. to the streets and home situation in Philadelphia. So he shared with me how he crossed that boundary.
Well, in Washington, like I said, and growing up, I was the youngest child, so they spoiled me to some degree. I mean, it's not as if they had a lot of money, but I didn't feel as impoverished in Washington as I did when I came to, once I got to Philadelphia. I guess my aunt, they would do things, they were creative. At the time, they would have things like rent parties, which were not the greatest things, but that they would do that to raise money. Everybody seemed like they had a job, but I never felt so impoverished, As I did once I came to Philadelphia. I was conspicuously aware of how poor I was in Philadelphia. In Washington, I was not aware of the state, an impoverished state. We always had food. I spent a lot of time by myself in Washington because everybody was working. So I was forced to grow up in that way. In terms of spending time by myself, I guess it was kind of a crazy dichotomy in Washington, because in Washington I had things, but I didn't have the people that I needed to make sure I got the proper guidance, and that's why eventually I had to end up back in Philadelphia, because the way they watched me in Washington and reared me, it was very loose, I guess, but I was very happy to be there. That's all I knew. If you don't have anything to measure, if you don't have a rule of measurement to really look at how you live versus the way somebody else lived, then you don't, everything is quite normal. But I never felt alone, even though I spent a lot of time by myself. Academically in Washington, there was really no guidance there. And so I did poorly in school. But as I said, that seemed quite normal to me. I know my aunt loved me tremendously. She bent over backwards to make sure I felt comfortable to make sure, to give me things, I guess, to some degree. Then my older sisters in Washington, as I said before, I was the youngest. They made sure that I was okay. They always took care of me. They gave me whatever it is I needed to get by. Now, in coming to Philadelphia, I immediately felt the sting of not having, because there was nobody there to give me those things now. But on the other hand, my mother in Philadelphia, my real mother, my biological mother, she always made sure I did my homework. She always made sure I was safe and things like that. So what I didn't get in Washington, I got in Philly. And what I didn't get in Philly, I got in Washington. But now, I never felt close to my mother, though, in Philadelphia. Whereas in Washington, I felt close to my aunt, who I thought was my mother. I guess my problem was, once I found out that neither one, my mother or my aunt, since they weren't who they were supposed to be, and they pretended to be somebody that they weren't, like, that kind of shocked me to the point where when I came to Philly, I found it difficult to be close to either one of them. And for some time I struggled with that, and it kind of gave me it put me in an isolated state, because that security that I had in Washington, once I came to Philly, I lost it permanently. And I was never able to develop anything with my biological mother. Unlike my step siblings, they were close to her. I never had that closeness. And we always, my mother and I, my biological mother and I, we always did battle, because she always felt as if, she expressed to me many times that she thought that I treated her badly. And I would express to her that I just didn't have it in me to give her what it is she thought that she should get from me. And strangely enough, my aunt, who I thought was my mother, grew far apart from me, even though in the summer, during the summer breaks in Philadelphia, when school was out, I would go back to visit her. It was just never the same. Because I think for me, and I couldn't articulate it, I wasn't sophisticated enough to articulate it. I lost trust in her, because she just didn't turn out to be who I thought she was. So, strange childhood. I don't know, when you're young, you can't articulate it, but when I became old enough, around 16, between 16, the ages of 16 and 19, I began to put it in perspective, and I began to analyze it, and after I began to write about it. I remember doing a lot of writing about my childhood and how I felt, and as soon as I could get out of the house at the age of 17, I joined the Marine Corps, because I just wanted to get away from everything that I had thought I knew, and I came to find out it wasn't what I thought it was. So I was kind of in search of myself. So I left after high school. After high school, even though I was an excellent student, I dropped out of high school because I just wanted to get away from everything that I knew. So in a nutshell, my childhood was confusing. So I did what I could to get away from it.
Escaping reality is what Dwight wanted to do. He just couldn't deal with the situation he was in anymore. He was tired of the lies, his stepfather, and his neighborhood. He just wanted to get away. So he decided to serve his country. You've just listened to just a portion of Dwight's story. Thank you for staying tuned. I'm Jared Lucky, and have a lovely day. There's nothing to hide, my soul's in my eyes.